We'll start at the beginning, we'll see the topic, you'll understand why I introduced it as I did. He says to the person, my beloved, my precious, you've asked in your question, in your letter, the following. How should someone, a bentoro, who's trying to live a life of kedusha, of Torah values, of Torah living, how should they relate to their desires? And it's obvious from the context, he's talking about someone's spiritual, that was Freudian, but intentional, maybe it's actually relevant, sexual desires and maturity in that realm. And the way he frames it right here in the opening sentence is exactly the way pretty much the letter is going to break down, and it's very, very interesting. On the one hand, he says, that whole phenomenon of a person's sexual desire, it's implanted in a person for a purpose. And therefore, you can't totally deny it, you can't totally repress it or suppress it. Hashem put it in there for a purpose. Sounds good. Umidach, on the other hand, not so simple. Taiva, hihi yetzahara. Kolomar yetzah sheesh lehilachem kenegdo. On the other hand, we also know that it can have very destructive forces and impact on a person's life, and therefore it is the kind of thing that a person is supposed to fight against. And therefore, the question is, you know, very very fair and very reasonable and very on point. Be'elu drachem yesh lehilachem neged yetzahara hofato hanochachit mafriya v'nikras rea. So here specifically this relates to somebody who's unmarried, so he's speaking about stages of life. But again, this could be easily adopted, I think, as an overall question of how we deal with these challenges even once we're married. And that is, even if I can understand that yes, there is a purpose to the sexual drive, hopefully eventually I'll get married, I'll be able to have a family, but at the same time, especially if he's talking to yeshiva boys who are single, so right now that's not actualized, so how do I deal with that? So he starts off with a big section of this first page by quoting a section of the sixth chapter, Perek Vav, of the famous Kabbalistic work, Tomer Devorah, of Moshe Cordovero, one of the great Tzvat Kabbalists, one of the great Kabbalists really of all time. And he has a whole chapter here, which as you should not feel bad, we're in good company. Revolbi himself says, I can't really understand what he's talking about. You know, it's Kabbalah. But there's enough there that we can pull out on our level stuff that is very, very relevant and very, very impactful. So I'll just read a few of the key lines here in this next thing. This is the part that we're going to try on our level to take out, and that's going to be the first point that he makes in the letter. Okay, so the piece in Revolbi is speaking in general about Gvura, and he says here on the opening line, Da ki kol pulos ha'itarut yetzahara he'mamash m'oreret ha'gvurot ha'chazakot. It's kind of a mida keneged mida idea. He says, listen, if you, here it sounds like gvura is kind of being understood as something, passions. If you arouse your passions in this world, you should know that's a bad thing, because mida keneged mida, up in Shamayim, you're arousing God's passions, which as Revolbi, the parentheses is Revolbi, not the Tomer Dvorah, basically God's midas adin, right? We don't want the judge to be so passionate when he's judging us. That might not end well for us. We're poking the bear if we arouse our passions in this world. And therefore, he explains, kind of using that as a starting point, he explains that there's a phenomenon people are born with, the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer Tov, right? But what exactly does that mean? And here's the key point, which again, I don't know what it really, really means on the ultimate mystical level, but as Revolbi, you know, we'll see it right away and Revolbi's going to develop, we can't understand it even on our level. So three or four lines down, he quotes from the Zohar. This is a very, very important point, which probably has many, many ramifications. I really find this very fascinating. Says the Zohar, Yetzer Tov, Nivra la'odam la'atzmo l'tzarcho. Yetzer Hara, l'tzarech ishto. Imkein ro'ui, sh'loit arer Yetzer Hara, L'toelet atzmo. In other words, as Revolbi is going to develop, what it sounds like the Zohar is saying is, you can have various drives and passions in life, even the ones that have potential for negativity. The negativity is when they're selfish. When you focus them on yourself, that's what makes them the Ra. But says the Zohar, again, I don't know what the Zohar really means, but what the Zohar seems to say is that Yetzer Hara, that thing that we're calling Yetzer Hara, and here specifically we are speaking about the sexual drive, why was it implanted in us, right? This is the question, right? If it's not good, why would Hashem make this a part of who we are? And says the Zohar, again, I read the phrase, the Yetzer Hara is l'tzorech ishto, not l'toelet atzmo, but not for your own purposes. Skip down a little bit, and he explains, omnam l'tzorech ishto yo'orer yitzro benachas, Now it gives kind of a little bit of a non sequitur. La halbisha, la takenla, bayis, the yomar, bezesh ani malbisha, ani metakena shkina. I'm not sure if he means that metaphorically, the malbisha. But either way, he's pointing out that, yes, the home, which is the center, which potentially is the center of Kedusha, but it's also the one place where halachically it's permissible to act on the sexual drive. So that has the place to either be a place of Kedusha, if you use your Yetzer Hara, that drive, in the right way. And therefore he concludes the piece, again, I'm still in the Tomer Devor, the last two lines, V'derech ze yeh l'kol mineichem de habayim mitzad Yetzer Hara. It's not just for the sexual drive, it says other drives that we have as well. Yeh ikaram l'tukunei ha'isha asher ochiach Hashem lo le'ezer kenegdo. Earlier in the piece, which part that I skipped, he mentioned the desire for kavod or other things. So it's not only the sexual drive, but the point, again, seems to be that the reason Hashem gave us these things is to channel outward into other people. So let's see what Revolbi does with this, because that's the part that's going to be hopefully inspiring and educational for us, much more so than the actual Kabbalistic words over the Tomer Devorah. So he points out, listen, says Revolbi, and again, this is what we can feel we're in good company. Ad kam shadrim elu gvohim mihasagateinu. So Revolbi, this is way above us. Hey, malam nimosono, nevertheless, hamabat shapnim yura torah b'nin azeshu mikara yitzira. Nevertheless, there is something we can extract from this, which is of a profound importance and insight. Hinenu lomdim mizeh. What do we learn from this? What's the principle? Yetzahara hu yitzira kedusha b'tachlit. B'koach yitzira zu, hinenu zochim l'taken et hashkina. There is something essentially kadosh, even in the Yetzer Hara, because through it, if we channel it the right way, we can truly bring the Shechina into the home. We can make our home a kadosh place. Ki beso shel Adam Yisrael ma'onhu l'Shechina. And that's why it was created, as he quotes here from the bottom of the page, from the Zohar, again, that all of these things, nivra l'tzorach ishto, that is to say, b'chol mash Adam mashpiel ishto b'tahara u'b'kedusha, so anything that you're giving to the other, and of course the one who's most dependent on us is our spouse, that's the one we're supposed to have the most loyalty to, anything that we're doing for her, it could be many things, including this part of our married life, that is a ma'on the kedusha, that is channeling something that could be turned negative and turning that into something that is kadosh. Which is a great phrase. He says, this is amazing and obviously profoundly important, even though we don't truly fully understand everything. Turning over the page, the second page, in my version it's Mem, top of the next page. And therefore he says, well, now that I just got through telling you how kadosh it is and how amazing it is, and how we're not the Catholic Church, and we do have a positive approach to this aspect of life. Ma'ifo yetzara. What's the bad there then? Could it be bad? So again, he drills down the point much more clearly even. Kish adam mo'el b'kodshim. What does that mean? If you misappropriate something that's kodesh in the Beis HaMikdash, what does that mean? You say yetzer hanivra l'tzorach ishto, hu ma'orer l'tzorach ulhanas atzmo, chas v'shalom. If a person focuses on their selfish gratification and not on bringing that to their wife or giving that, you know, to other people, that is where it becomes a yetzer hara instead of a yetzer hatov. Ki yetzer zeh hu l'fi yitziraso v'to'adaso, eno shayich lanu v'lo'anasu liten banu. Right, it's not given for us for our selfish gratification, rather for us to help the other. It's created to be able to give to someone else. Instead, we introduce into that kavana atzmit anochit. We turn that into something selfish and inward focused. Only then, this is so profound. It's a yetzer. It's the strongest yetzer that we're created with, certainly as men. But nevertheless, it's not necessarily ra. When it's focused on selfish gratification, that's when it becomes ra. When it's focused on building a healthy and loving marriage, so that's not ra at all. And he continues on the next paragraph, very importantly, b'shum ofen, and this is so, so important, again, for ourselves, but especially to talk to our children about. Very, very important. B'shum ofen, never, no exceptions, ein liros b'yetzer hataiva devar ma'us Mutuav mitzar atzmo. There's nothing inherently dirty or disgusting or inappropriate about the sexual drive. Hine yitzira kedushahi. It is a drive that has the ability to bring tremendous kedusha into the world. He points out here a quote from the Ramban. This is the Ramban. In my version, I don't know about the version you have. In my version, it was quoted there as Yud Zayin in Brachos Pasuk Dalet, but in fact, when I went to look it up, it's actually Pasuk Tet. I don't know if in the new versions they corrected it. But the Ramban has a line about the mitzvah of Bris Milah, right? If Hashem wants to make a covenant with the Jewish people, there was no other place in the body he could have chosen. Why is the Bris Milah specifically in the Aver? So says the Ramban. This is the Ramban in Parshas Lech Lecha. V'omru b'tam ha-milah, shasam zikaron be'ever ha-taiva, rav ha-muhumah. Right, dafke, in the one place in the body that has the ability to bring the most agitation, v'hachet, or sin. Why? Laval yishtam shubo rak, b'mitzvah v'mutar. In other words, the very thing which could be the agent of the greatest destruction. And we know it's either number one or number two in terms of the cause of downfall of human beings. We know throughout the world people ruin their lives, their careers, their everything, because for seconds and moments of pleasure, it could be the agent of the greatest destruction. But we dafka, you'd think, why would Hashem put the sign of the bris there of all places? Ich! Like, that would be the very, very superficial but reasonable instinct we might have had. Says Ramban, that's the point. Davka Hashem put the sign of the bris, the covenant that we have with Him there. Why? To show that that very place, that very part of our body, that very part of our consciousness, that can be used not only for mutter, but for mitzvah. And I think there's so far, there's still half of the piece to go, which we're going to get to, and we're doing well time-wise. I'm on schedule, I'm looking. But so far, in the first half of the piece, I think we've seen two very, very important points. The first, which I think could probably be applied to various other parts of the human psyche, but here, again, we're not pretending, here we're being honest. He's definitely talking about the sexual drive, but I don't think it's limited to that, is a very profound definition, which I think could help us understand and guide us in a lot of ways, which is based on the Zohar, which is that what makes something ra versus neutral, let alone tov, is whether we're using it selfishly or for others. The more one sees that part of their life, that part of their drive and their psyche as oriented on their own satisfaction, you're very much on the border, if not over the line, of Yetzer Hara. The more you see it as a way of connecting with your wife, building a loving relationship, bringing her that satisfaction and pleasure, that is not only Yetzer Hara, but that's in fact something that can be the source of Kedusha. That's number one. Number two, which is very specifically focusing on the sexual drive, which I think is so important, is this point. Which again, probably in other contexts we have heard in the past. I certainly hope so, unless there's been a horribly wrong. Right, good. Thank you, Simcha. So the specific second point, which he's making here on the top of the second page, which I think is also so important for ourselves, but especially for our children, is that they should realize that as their body is changing, and he's about to do a little biology in the next part of the letter, it's not something that they should be embarrassed about, or something gross, or kadosh, or disgusting. On the contrary, it is something that has the ability to be kadosh, and they shouldn't feel guilty about it, they shouldn't feel that somehow something bad has been placed into them. It's a complete, complete distortion, and psychologically, it's incredibly, incredibly harmful. Literally, just this week, not for the first time, and I hope not for the last time, a member of the shul called me. My son is getting to be a certain age. How do I talk to him about where babies come from? You're laughing. Why are you laughing? I get this phone call. I should get it more often. But it's not the first time I've gotten it. And I'm happy to speak to people about that. Especially since I have one of my own sons here, I don't want to embarrass him. With all four of my children, and I have a daughter too, with all four of my children and three boys, I'm the one who spoke to them significantly about this parsha of their life when they were of a right age and they were maturing. I believe it's a big, big mitzvah and very, very important that parents should speak to their children. You don't want them learning about this on the back of the bus or somewhere else where they're going to learn exactly the opposite message of what we just read. Now, how should you talk to, fill in the age, every child's different. How should you talk to them about this? Obviously, it's not simple. And I'm not going to get into all that now. But exactly, Brasha Kivanti, exactly what he's saying here on the top of this page, is exactly the way I framed it with my own children, exactly when I've advised other people how they should talk about it with their children. Again, without getting to the specifics, there's more to talk about, obviously. But the basic first approach is, Hashem made us this way, and Hashem could have made us a different way. We could have been amoebas. There are other ways He could have made us reproduce. If Hashem made us this way, that means He did it on purpose, with a reason, and if He didn't, it means it could be kadosh. Now, could it be not kadosh, and how do we deal with it, and what's allowed? Okay, so that's, of course, that's the second part of the conversation. But to me, it all flows from having the right perspective on it. Not that they should feel guilty or dirty, and not that we should ourselves. We have to realize where it's coming from. That's his second point. Let's continue to do the second half of the letter now. We think about the natural development, hitpachtut hativit, right? We think about people's biological, physical maturity. He says there's two units, two time periods, basically, in every person. Shnei chidot mahavot adam echad. On the one hand, mibchinat te'aguf, I don't want to get the high school kids, or the basement guys, all of a sudden, you feel like you're back in ninth grade now, biology, right? Te'aguf, the cells, right? Your biological cells. Hinu yichida hashayach el adam atzmo. Right? So on the one hand, from a cellular perspective, we are only shaykh to ourselves. All the cells, he says, are mitrabim, mirega, horaso, but ketzav adir. Right, from the moment we're conceived, our cells are multiplying at an incredible pace. They're building the guf throughout the pregnancy, choche arayon, the first 20 years more or less of a person's life. They're developing physically. On the one hand, that's all about you. You have your own DNA, you're unique, you're separate. In a certain sense, you could say that's selfish. On the other hand, he says, mibchinat tihazera. However, when it comes to not the general cell, not your general cells, but specifically to those that are reproductive, the semen, the sperm, hanimtzim betoch blutot hamin. I did not know what that word blutot was. I looked it up. So literally, I think it means glands. But in the context here, clearly, and he's going to repeat it in a little bit, he's talking about testicles. Says that that's a second part, the specific type of cells that are growing inside of you. Gam kein min harega rishon harehim eino shayech latzmo. Those are not about you. Those are actually about, hopefully, somebody else in the future. You have to realize, as a person, who knows say b'ti hazera, yerushas avosav, b'tchunas agufa nefesh. When all of a sudden you start having the ability to create sperm, you are actually now carrying inside of you cells, which are now the yerusha you got from your parents and your grandparents, which you'll be able to give to create with reproduction other generations. A love limsor yerusha zos hala l'dor haba. It's very interesting. He's darshaning the biology. We know, unlike all the other cells in the body, right, this is not happening when the first baby is born. This is not initial. More or less, when the kid becomes adolescent, young teenager, his body starts changing. Only then do this part of the physical development happen. Again, and there we understand that whole part of his body, including the testicles, literally, physically, they drop, right? We know that this is a way the male's body changes. In that case, ha'adam ha'mitkaber, a person is maturing. Mitzatei hazera, harei ha'adam gam mitzat gufo, yitzor nitzchi. Charuz echad b'shasheret hadorot. So what a way of looking at it, right? That second part of a person's physical development, all of a sudden they're out developing the physical capability, the biological capability to reproduce. So now they have inside of them not only biological material, cellular material that's just going to help them survive, they now have the ability to create new life and new generations. Ila zot ha'adam l'das. This is what's important for a person to know. K'min ha'rega sh'tei ha'zera b'gufo mit'arim l'drabot eino od yitzur ha'chai rak chai atzmo. A person has to realize, this is very important. I have to say, this is probably, I don't think I ever thought of this on my own, so probably this wasn't part of my shmooze in previous iterations, even with my own children. Which is that you have to realize, well, the second these physical and biological changes are happening inside of your body, you're now no longer living just for yourself. You already have the capability of bringing new life into the world, of new generations. Talichim elu b'gufo machshirim oto liot av labanim. Molid dor chadash. Hashem has given you a gift. Not something disgusting, not something that's just been looked at as a constant struggle, which you're warring with, which you hate yourself over, because you can't always control. Hashem gave you a gift, which all of a sudden now, 13, 14, whatever the age is, all of a sudden now you feel, and you realize it's happening. Hashem gave you all of a sudden the ability to create life. Unbelievable. You, eventually with your wife, and Hashem is the third shutof, hinu mitzuvel limsur l'dor haba, with your other two partners, im isha asher yochiach Hashem liot lo le'ezer, im hashchina shetishra, Benahem. A completely different perspective. Not dirty, not bad, not yitzah hara, 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 hara. Rather, kedusha and the ability to grow and pass on to the next world. The next paragraph, he discusses a second point, and I want to get to the last point very quickly, which is, again, this point, which clearly for Avolbi is a big idea, this idea that a person can be a father. And he points out, right in the middle of that paragraph, based on a Rashi, later at the end of the paragraph, l'fimidas hakadusha shebehorim tia madregas hanashama shel b'neihem. So therefore, now you have to realize, you have this huge challenge. You have this huge thing inside of you. One day it's going to be able to come out, not right now, but hopefully, Mr. Hashem, you'll get married. The more you work on yourself, the more you become a kadosh person in general, as well as in the moments that you're with your wife, that has the ability not only to produce physically and biologically, but to infuse kedusha in those children that you will create. And he points out again, the end of this paragraph, Hayodea zos v'gadel al berkei haTorah, yodea l'yachis b'mabat shel kedusha al kol davar shebimin v'holada. If you have the right perspective, then you don't look at sexuality as something dirty and ichy and ugh, but rather you look at it from a perspective of kedusha and potential. And last but not least, he discusses very, very important. And again, the fact that he's willing to do this so openly, I think, is so impressive. He's talking about people who don't control themselves. He says, you have to realize, even if you have rios, even if you are maybe not 100% doing exactly what you're supposed to do, you have to realize, Kach gazar HaKadosh Baruch Hu mitzad HaTeva, kimat ein adam hanitzul mizeh, milvad Yaakov v'Eliyahu. I'm not sure what the makoros are about Yaakov and Eliyahu, but that's above me too. Nevertheless, he says, great, okay, fair point. And Eliyahu?
Well,
I
went to the Yishu
Shunami, says okay, fantastic, I forgot about that. Okay, so the point is, unless you're the original Yaakov or original Eliyahu, you're normal. These are normal Yeridos, right? Again, this is so important, and unfortunately, not often the way it's talked about in yeshivas, if it's talked about at all. Mikra Laila, Eino Machala. It doesn't make you dirty, it doesn't make you sick. There's nothing wrong with you, it means that you're normal. Doesn't mean it's the right thing to do, but it's normal. It's part of life. And he goes on to develop that point a little bit. And here I want to conclude, if you give me 3 more minutes, I think this is the most important point. And this, I think, is not just relevant to the way we talk to our teenagers, but I think it's relevant for all of us. And I think it's a profoundly true point. And that is, to the extent that there is a downside to sexuality, which of course there can be, there's halachos, and just like exactly in the place where there's kedusha, there's kedesha. Of course there could be tumba. We're so oriented religiously to think of the bad, so he's been focusing on the good. But it doesn't mean that there can't be bad. Of course it could be, it could be manipulated and used, of course, in very, very bad ways, of course. So what's the key to that? So again, I'm certainly not trying to oversimplify, but if you listen typically, you would think that the key to that is just, you know, not have a smartphone, or not walk out on the street, or, you know, basically shmira from all sorts of outward things. I'm not saying there's not a place for that. There absolutely is a place for that. But I don't think that's the real solution, and evidently Baruch Hashem, neither does he. The real, real solution is that tumah, if you will, abhors a vacuum. When you're not filling yourself up, so to speak, with good stuff, that's when the kochos atumah and the more negative stuff comes in. The more a person is focused on infusing himself with kedusha, you know, there's finite mental bandwidth, there's finite space in our neshamas or in our head. The more you're adding and putting in good stuff, the less time, energy, and even space there is for the more selfish things, so to speak, to come in. And this is, we'll just finish with the last part here on the third page. Hazochel himatze b'makom Torah va'al Torah hu shoked, ein zeh she'enu marigish b'yitzro. Aval osek b'torah yeshnam kol ha'emtza'im b'yado, asher b'kocham limnoa hishtaltalut ha'yetzer. I think this is profound, and I think it's totally true. I don't think it's simplistic. He's not saying, if you go to yeshiva and you learn good afternoon seder, you're never going to have any taivas anymore. That's stupid. That's not what he means at all. What he means to say is, the more you're filling yourself up with Torah, the more you're filling yourself up with Kedusha, memela, you're not drawn to that. Again, not at all. He says clearly, it doesn't mean you don't have a Yetzer. But your Yetzer is not in control. Who's in control? Who's the elephant and who's the rider? Who's really in control? I think this is so, so true. Ein shum etzel ba'olam liyo sholet al yitzro melvad limud gemara em rashi v'toskos. Again, he doesn't mean that it's as a panacea. He's not being simplistic at all. He's being the opposite of that. But I think this is so true. In my own life, I've seen it with Talmidim. The more a person is connected towards doing good things and not being passive, you spend all day doing nothing, just hanging out in your room, whether you have a phone or not, your mind or your fingers will wander where they shouldn't. On the screen, wherever, you're going to find. But the more you are doing good things, now the best thing may be learning, But I don't even think it has to be limited to learning. Person spending all day doing chesed. But the more you're doing, and not just idle, but in fact, in a positive way, adding kedusha, memela, I think he says correctly, you're not going to have these problems. I think it is so, so important. He quotes the basic idea from Avos Rabbi Nassan, and we'll conclude just with the last paragraph, because I think it's so true. Again, this is the challenge for those of us who are not yeshiva, who are learning all day. Right? It's not just that we're exposed to things. And we're exposed to them without the sufficient infusion of Kedusha. So the more you can avoid the temptation, of course that would be better. But a lot of us in life, that's not possible. So the more we can bring Kedusha into our life, again, the more we're filling ourselves up with positivity in Kedusha in the good sense, who yodea mi yitzro. Again, this is so, so sophisticated, so subtle, and so bracingly true. It doesn't mean that you're going to be all of a sudden a malach. You're not going to become all of a sudden Yaakov Avinu or Eliyahu Anavi. Who yodea mi yitzro. Even if you're learning all day, it doesn't mean you don't have a yitzhara. You know you have a yitzhara. Aval ein hayetzer sholed ala, but the yetzer is not in control. Or torasa meirlo gamen chayah guf sheinim od, etc., etc. I think this is so, so important. Again, in my own experience, I've seen this to be absolutely, absolutely true. You have to just be able to take control. Not only do you have to have the right perspective, that was the first part of the piece, which I think is absolutely important. But also, the more we are filling ourselves up with good things, whether it's Torah or other things, I would say, then memela. We are less tempted, and just quantitatively, it's just the Yetzirah goes down, and even the fact that it exists, but we are much more empowered to control that for good things, and not to have it control us for bad. Shabbos.